Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us if you're traveling out there. I tell you, the roads are sure a lot better than they were this morning. They're even better than they were this afternoon. They had a chance of snows kind of slowed up here in northeast Ohio and had a break here this afternoon into the evening. And temperatures up enough that the salt's beginning to work. And it sure was nice driving up at the speed limit coming up to the radio station tonight. I sure wasn't doing the speed limit on the way to church this morning. I was slipping and sliding just trying to get up our road and sliding into the parking lot at the Holiday Inn Express there in Richfield where we meet. And but we got in safely. Our attendance was certainly down. I knew there were several people that weren't going to be there, and I know a lot of churches had canceled different things, activities and buses, and some even canceled services, but, you know, it's better safe than sorry in some places. It really is. And, you know, so I just hope that if you got to be out traveling tomorrow, though, keep an eye on the weather. It's supposed to be snowing some more later on tonight and snowing and blowing by morning, so yeah, it might be well advised to get up a little early tomorrow morning and check the weather before you have to go out. And if you don't have to go out, you might want to stay inside. It's going to be cold. Well, as I said, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray things we talk about would be glorifying and to you, and it would lift up Christ to a lost and dying world. Just pray that we could point people to Christ through the topics and the discussions tonight, and use this program for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I believe we already have John calling in. And John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi,
good evening.
I just wanted to say that when you talk about Gus and East Coast Pizza, he is a
yes.
Great pizza.
Well, you know, and for our listeners there, I don't get to mention on our Friday afternoon program as much, but usually at the bottom of the hour when we come back on at 11:30, because we have a little break at the bottom of the hour, I usually mention East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And that's the home of the homemade pizza there, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. And since you brought it up, I'll give them a little plug here at the beginning. Uh-huh. You know, you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. And actually, if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's East Coast Pizza right there on Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School.
Amen.
And, of course, Gus also prays for this program. Gus is the owner there. If you stop in, give him a call. Say hello to Gus. He's the owner, and he loves the Lord, and he helps us with this program. And we just thank God for him and others like him that have a burden to help us be on the air. I mean, we couldn't do it without the prayers and support of God's people.
Amen.
So, but good to hear from you tonight, John.
Hey, had a question. My associate pastor Grover,
mm-hmm.
He had a question.
Yes, sir.
Because Ernie Sanders was talking about Adam and Eve were like 14 foot, and according to the Bible, we know that the giants didn't come till after the fall. He wants to know what you think. He had a sore voice, though. He wanted me to call for him.
All right. Well, that's it. And you said that he's having some problems speaking?
Yes, sir.
Oh, certainly pray for their, for Grover to get his voice back and everything. It can be difficult, especially for a preacher not being able to talk. And I,
amen.
I know Grover likes to talk. So
when he doesn't talk, he tells me like within a few seconds, "Hey, I need you to talk."
Yeah. Well, let me get to Adam and Eve there, and certainly people out there, I'm sure, will pray for Grover's voice, and he'll get his voice back and everything. But Adam and Eve, the Bible really does not say how tall they were. I would think that they were probably taller than the average person today. I don't know about 14 feet. It really doesn't say that. It does talk about giants in the land that occur after the fall, and I can get to that in just a minute. But when God created Adam and Eve, they were perfect. Genetically, they were perfect. And it's interesting, as a side note, in every one of our cells, we have DNA in the nucleus, and they have proven genetically that every single human being on the face of the earth is descended from one man. And then inside of your cell, in addition to the nucleus that contains your genetic material, DNA, you have these little things called mitochondria. It's kind of like the power plant of the cell. It's a little organelle. And the mitochondria has its own DNA. It's kind of interesting. But the DNA that the the mitochondria only come from your mother, because they come from the egg cell. And so every single person on the planet that's ever lived or ever will live, their mitochondria and the DNA in the mitochondria come from their mother. And they've also shown genetically that everybody is descendant from one woman. They call her Mitochondria Eve. But getting back to your thing, Adam and Eve had perfect DNA. It was without any flaws or anything, and they were perfectly formed. We know that if you give people sufficient food and nutrition when they're younger, they will grow to be on average larger than people who don't get sufficient nutrition when they're younger. I'll give you a good example of that. In the Samoan Islands, where my wife and I served as missionaries for 4 years, the Samoans who grew up on the island in the 70s, probably in my age range, in the 60s and 70s, they're shorter than their cousins, oftentimes first cousins and even siblings who grew up off island in Hawaii or California or New Zealand, where their food was better there and they had more nutrition. They had the things that they needed. And these people, the cousins and even siblings of people who grew up on island, would be head and shoulders taller than their cousins and siblings. And that's because of nutrition. Now, that's just nutrition. Adam and Eve were formed by God as fully formed human beings. And I certainly think that they would have probably, certainly both of them topped 6 feet, possibly topped 7 feet. And those are not unusual heights to see for people in the 6 to 7 foot range. Physically, men are taller than men in the early 20th century. And in fact, the B-52 that they have, that the Air Force uses, that first went into service in the 50s, they had to reset the seats in a lot of them because people who were flying them in the 80s and 90s, or 70s, 80s, and 90s, were physically bigger men, longer legs, taller in the trunk than the people who flew them in the 50s and 60s. And that's just because of better nutrition. So Adam and Eve would have been larger. I don't know how tall they were. I have heard some people, you know, say and suggest that they might have been a lot taller than 6 or 7 feet. If I had to guess, that's the range I think they were in. As far as giants in the land, we have in Genesis after the fall, and I'll have to wrap through this because I got a couple more calls coming in as well. But after the fall, let's go down to Genesis chapter number number six. And I believe that's where it talks about what we call the Nephilim, and the sons of man. Yeah, there it is. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, and the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And it says in verse 4, "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown." And there's a lot of debate. Were these actually fallen angels, what we would call devils or demons, that physically had relationships with the women? And I don't believe this part. Some people think, well, the daughters of men were the descendants of Cain, and the sons of God were the descendants of Seth. I don't think that's a good answer. I think personally, what most likely is the case is that the fallen angels that
Amen. You're exactly right on that.
I'm going to take this a little bit different here. I think that what they did was just like we have bred dogs to be everything from a little dachshund to a Great Dane.
Yeah.
And just like we've bred goats to be everything from the little midget goats that you can get to much larger goats, just like we have horses bred to be everything from a little pony to a giant draft horse, I think that's what was going on. The devil was trying to pollute the genetic line to prevent the coming of the Messiah, of the Christ.
Amen.
And that he was possessing different individuals and really trying to pollute the genetics and distort human beings through some, you know, if you want to look at it, for lack of a better term, a breeding experiment. That's what was going on. If it proves to be something else, it very well could be. I'm not going to say dogmatically that that's exactly what it was. That's one of those things that we'll find out when we get to heaven exactly what went on. We can ask God and he'll tell us. But it was enough that God had to destroy the human race, and only Noah and his family. It says in verse 9 there, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God.
Amen.
And I believe that Noah's genetic line was what he's talking about there. And of course, the Nephilim were living beings. They called the giants there, and they died in the flood. They didn't survive underground or something like that. And when later on, when people went into the land, you know, after Moses led them out of Egypt, and they said there were giants in the land, and people say, well, they said there were Nephilim in the land. Well, that's a term that they used to describe them, because it's a term they were familiar with from the story here in Genesis chapter 6. But hopefully that helps out there, John.
Amen. Well, it did. I already knew the answer, but I wanted Ernie Sanders to hear that one.
Well, I just going with my best interpretation on the Bible. Like I said, we get to heaven, we'll find out what's right.
Your interpretation is right, because I used to come to your church, so...
Well,
preaching.
Well, then it's good to talk to you tonight, John. I'm going to let you go. Got to get the next callers here. But thanks, and pray
brother.
For Grover there.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And I believe we have John in Euclid up next, another John. So, John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor
Hey,
Al.
Good evening. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, Pastor Al, we were wondering if you could put on your prayer list at your church and your personal prayers, if you
right.
pray for our sister in the Lord, Esty Chrisman.
Okay.
She's a saved Jewish woman. She mm-hmm. came from Israel with her family after the Six-Day War.
Right.
And she's,
I remember she called our program a couple times. It's been some time, and I know she'd been sick, and you had mentioned something before. So now she's sort of what, a relapse?
She's just very sick, and she's a good faithful Christian woman. She sings songs for the Lord, and she witnesses to people, and counsels with people, and is a good prayer warrior, and just a good faithful saint, but she's greatly afflicted. So we're just hoping you would pray for her and for a while. Her family still needs to be saved too. So
right.
She's got a lot, we pray for her healing all the time, and I really do hope the Lord will see fit to heal her. But also, I think that would just maybe bless her heart even more if her family were to be saved. I mean, really.
Yeah, oh, obviously, and one's concern for their family. I mean, when you think about that, you know, people that you know, people you love, people you're close to, and, you know, the thought that they're not going to be in heaven with you, that can really weigh upon somebody, and that's why we ought to pray for loved ones.
And, I think it does. Yeah. I think that gives her a lot of affliction.
Yeah. And sometimes it depends on the individual. Some people find their family are the easiest ones to witness to, but oftentimes many people find their family are the hardest ones to witness to. And part of that is because your family knows you better than anybody else. But that's one of those things where I believe that as believers, we need to take the authority that we have in Christ and claim loved ones for the Lord and keep praying for them. My wife prayed for her father for 11 years. And he actually trusted Christ as his Savior the day that we left for the Samoan Islands. And that was, you know, we didn't see him until, you know, just over 4 years later. But it really weighed upon my wife that what if something had happened while we were there he wasn't saved. But, you know, praise God, he trusted Christ as his Savior that afternoon before we flew off on our trip down to the Samoan Islands. And let me just encourage people out there listening to pray not only for Grover, but also to pray for Esty tonight and to pray for her family members' salvation. Anything else real quick there, John? Got another caller coming in.
You know, I just wanted to ask you something, too. Like, you probably know about the coming blood moons. I know you said.
We touched on that very briefly on our last program on Friday, last Friday afternoon. And the next set, for the people who don't know what this is, the blood moon refers to a total lunar eclipse because it becomes kind of reddish, coppery color, blood-colored. And the color will vary depending on atmospheric conditions on Earth when it happens, but it's a total lunar eclipse. And what they call the blood moon tetrad is when a series of four total lunar eclipses occurs within basically a year's time frame, with no partial eclipses in between. And not just in that capacity, but it also has to coincide with Jewish feast days or holy days, and it appears on one, for instance, on Passover this year, which I believe is April 14th, and then it'll occur again in October, I believe it is, and that will be on the Feast of Tabernacles. And then to make the blood moon tetrad complete, in 2015, it will appear on Passover again, and then not again until the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's the unique thing. There's only, I think, that'll be the eighth time that that's occurred since the birth of Christ. And the last time it occurred was in, 1968 and 69. And then the time before that was in 1948 and 49. What's unique about that is, and let me go back again, the time before that was way back in the 1400s, around 1492, 93, 93, 94, something like that. And what's
when the Jews were expelled.
Right.
From,
but Spain. Even more important than them being expelled from Spain, if you look at it closely, that's when Columbus found the New World, which became a sanctuary for the Jewish people. North and South America became a sanctuary for Jews fleeing persecution in Europe and Asia and Africa and the Middle East. And so it became a sanctuary. It wasn't until centuries later that after the Jews in 1948 became the State of Israel that the next blood moon tetrad occurred. And then it did not happen again until after the 1967 war, the Six-Day War, when they captured the Temple Mount. If you can see a progression here, they seem to key into significant events in regards to the Jewish people and they happen after the event, not before. And if you look at it in the 1400s, it was after a land of sanctuary was found for them. In the 1940s, 48-49, it was after they founded a state. And then in 1968-69, it was after they found, after they laid claim to the site of the temple. And so the next one's going to occur starting this year in April 14th, on Passover. That suggests that if there's any truth to this, if there's any legitimacy to this, that we would see something, I would suspect, in regards to the founding of the temple, maybe laying the cornerstone or something along those lines, which maybe that could happen as a part of the ongoing peace process negotiations in the Middle East or something. But the thing happens after that. Something else that's awfully interesting is that between the 1948-49 tetrad and, or I'm sorry, the 67, or I'm getting my tongue tied here, the 48-49 tetrad and the 68-69 tetrad is 19 years. And then from the 68-69 tetrad until the one that's coming up is 48 years. Well, what year did Israel become a nation? 1948. And it's kind of interesting if you're in the 1400s and you look along the calendar that as a timeline, you see a tetrad in the future, 19 years later, another tetrad, 48 years later, another tetrad. If you look backwards at the three previous tetrads, I don't have the dates offhand, but you look back and you see a tetrad, then you go back 19 years, another tetrad, and you go back 48 years, and there's yet another tetrad. So either way you look forward into the future or back into the past from the 1400s, you see 19 and 48. And the other interesting thing, when you add 19 and 48 together, you get 67, which is the year 1967 that they gained the Temple Mount. Now, you know, you can make numbers say a lot of things, but it is kind of interesting that all this stuff is coming together at this time. And when you have the nation of Israel there and many prophecies that seem to relate to the second coming of Christ, it looks like, we're getting close.
Amen.
So, I was hoping
there's also a total eclipse of the sun in between them.
Right, and those are coming up as well. I haven't looked into the significance of the eclipses as much, but the tetrad thing is very interesting. And for people who are familiar with the Fibonacci number sequence or the golden ratio, which is phi, most people have heard of the ratio pi, but this ratio is called phi, and I don't know the number offhand, but it's if somebody Google phi, P-H-I, or just the golden ratio, phi, the golden ratio, is an amazing thing. It's been called the fingerprint of God. And this ratio, if you've ever seen a snail shell, the spiral in there is in accordance to the golden ratio. The spiral of sunflower seeds on the disc of a sunflower is in the golden ratio. There's all kinds of things that we have to deal with that. It's considered the most beautiful and balanced ratio in terms of architecture. You'll find it in all sorts of architecture. You'll find it in art. Somebody did a look at the golden ratio, and they related it to actors and actresses that were considered by most people to be very attractive people, and they found that their faces represent aspects of the golden ratio, little things like the distance between the two eyes in relation to the width of the eye, I think, comes out to the golden ratio. And when people approach that that ratio in their facial features, people consider them to be very attractive. It's very fascinating stuff. But the thing of it is, we ought not to get overwhelmed with all these sorts of things, because really we have the Word of God, and we need to go to the Word of God, to the law and the testimony, Isaiah said, and that's our bottom line. And we want to weigh everything by the Word of God. But the Blood Moon Tetrad, that relates more to the Jewish people. So what does that say for us? Well, if something happens in Israel in the coming weeks, the coming couple of months, and they start setting the foundation stone, keep in mind that when Jesus died on the cross, the temple sacrifices ended just after that. And if they're going to start rebuilding the temple and reinstituting the temple sacrifices, if God allows that to happen, then maybe the time of our catching away of the believers is a lot closer than what we think. Because we know the temple will be operating during the tribulation period, and the Antichrist will step in at the midpoint of the tribulation and cause the sacrifices and oblations to cease. They're searching right now in Israel for a man that they believe would be a direct blood descendant of Aaron, the first high priest, so he can serve as the high priest. John, just coming up on the break here, you got me going on a good topic there, and one day we'll spend more time on it. I want to thank you for that, and thank you for your call. Nancy's calling in, and Nancy, if you can hold on through the break, because we got just a little short time here before we get into the break here. But we're going to be back for another half an hour, and again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a Bible question or a question about current events in light of the Word of God, give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we talk about just about anything here. First time I heard about the Blood Moon Tetrads, I was a little skeptical. Sorry. Reading into a little bit more, looking at it. But stay tuned. We'll talk about these and more in the next half hour. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, good evening. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And, of course, we're brought to you tonight not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights also has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, salads, wings, a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school at 4889 Turney Road. And the phone number is 216-341-9100. Also, if you're interested in a business for yourself, contact Gus at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100, and ask Gus how he can help you get started in your own pizza business for a lot less than what you might think. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights on Turney Road, right across from the high school, 216-341-9100. We're going to get back to the program. And like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have Nancy on the line. Nancy, you've been waiting patiently. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you for taking my call. You'll have to excuse my cough. I've been homesick with a cough, but it certainly doesn't stop me from hearing good Christian radio such as your program.
Well, thank you. And I hope you feel better, too.
Oh, thank you. it's bothered so many of us for some time, those that have never heard about Jesus, that they possibly would be condemned to hell. But I'm thinking, and I think so often, of Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with your whole heart. Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard of people like, you know, a man in the jungle, he's never heard about the gospel.
Right.
But if he's truly searching, God will send him a light. He will send him a light. But suppose a missionary never appears, or say he doesn't have access to the internet and hear about Jesus Christ, is it possible that somehow, I've heard, now I don't know if this is true or not, I've heard that there's thousands of Muslims being saved in these Far Eastern countries, that they come to Jesus through a dream. But then I've heard that dreams cease, you know, that you can't really hear from God through dreams. So is it possible somehow that the Holy Spirit can interact with an unsaved man's spirit that's truly searching?
Well, and yeah, and that's a very good question, and people struggle with this because, for one thing, it offends our sensibilities to think that somebody who's never heard the gospel would die and wind up in hell as a result of that. But we're faced with a couple things in the scripture. One of them is the Bible very clearly says, Romans 10:17, I believe, is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
And so ultimately we have to hear the word of God, because it's the word of God that gives us the information about Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But let me direct you to the Gospel of John, okay? Mm-hmm. John chapter 3, and this is an important verse that a lot of people miss, because in John chapter 3, everybody likes to go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, the key there is whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Mm-hmm. And so That's a pretty cut and dried statement, but yeah. Verse 18 makes this really a little more emphatic. It says in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This would apply to everybody. Now, let me say this. A person that is living somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, you know, out in the jungle in the Amazon or something like that, and they've not heard the gospel, and this could even be in the days before radio, television, internet, things like that. And they live and they die, and they never hear the gospel message. And, you know, in the 70s and 80s, they were finding tribes in Papua New Guinea, in the South Pacific, and these tribes were living a very primitive lifestyle, very primitive level, and they never heard anything about the gospel. And so you say, well, God's going to hold them accountable? Well, yeah, because they're under this same condemnation in John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. They've not believed on Christ. So they fall into the second category, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And, of course, the Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and the Bible says that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. So, you know, these people have to hear the gospel message. That's why Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and that's why missionaries go out into the world. Now, here's what happens. Somebody out there perhaps might come to the realization that there is a God and they might search for him. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2 says, actually 1, 2, and 3 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There's a great book. You can find it. You can probably find it on Amazon or something like that online. But a lot of times you can find it in used bookstores, and I don't know that it's in print or anything. But you can find it in used bookstores. It's called Eternity in Their Heart. And I think the author's name is, I want to say Don Richardson, I think might be the author. But Eternity in Their Hearts is a tremendous book that really, if somebody's struggling with this idea of people living somewhere where they've never heard about Jesus and yet being condemned and winding up in hell because of that, I would suggest find that book, Eternity in Their Hearts.
Yeah,
but as you look at this in Psalm 19, this suggests that there's nowhere in all of God's creation that somebody would be completely ignorant of the fact that there is a creator. That's why the evolutionists rail so much against the concept of creation or teaching intelligent design or creation as an alternative to evolution in the schools. They rail against that because they're fighting against God himself. They don't want to admit that there's a God. They're like my professor at Colorado State University in a fourth-year forest biology class, who at the end of the semester said, you know, it boils down to this. There's only two possibilities. Either it's evolution or it's special creation. And then he told us as a class, he said that he chose the beliefs in evolution because the only other alternative was special creation, and he did not want to believe that. And so it was a matter of where he chose to place his faith. In Romans chapter 1, it says in verse number 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So what he's saying here is everybody is without excuse. There's enough in nature to tell somebody that there's a creator. And that's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So natural...
Can I just say one thing real quick?
I'm on a roll here. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. but there's two different issues here. Being aware that there is a creator, and do you have to hear, which I think the answer is yes, you have to hear about Jesus to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's two different issues here. Is there any way, do you think there's any validity to, I've heard this,
about the Muslims?
Thousands of Muslims.
Yeah, and I want to come to that one because I know somebody personally that I can relate to that one. Where I was going and heading in that direction is that there's what we call general revelation. The heaven, the stars, the sun, the moon, the creation all around us argues for a creator. And so that argues that there is a God. That should make people want to know who he is and begin to search. I believe, and I've talked to missionaries, I've talked to people. In fact, when we got to the Samoan Islands, there was somebody praying that God would send somebody there. And missionaries will tell you this, when they arrived on the field that God led them to, somebody was praying that God would come and show the truth or tell people how to be saved or start a church or something. Mm-hmm. And so God moves upon the heart of people to go places. Unfortunately, a lot of times people don't go where God tells them to go. They don't do what God tells them to do or asks them to do. And so they miss out on that opportunity. But let me come back to Romans chapter 1 again. After saying that they're without excuse, it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their foolish imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. And it goes on to talk about how they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in image made like the corruptible man. And they drifted from the truth. That man that's in the jungle, one of his forefathers, somewhere back down his line, his forefathers, knew the truth and turned their back on it. And that's a shame. Because, see, when Noah got off the ark, there were eight people living in the world. Every one of them knew who God was and what God expected of them. And somewhere down the line, people lost the knowledge that they had. Their forefathers turned on that book, Eternity, in their hearts. Again, I can't recommend it highly enough. It shows how in various cultures, the gospel, or I should say, there's evidence of a knowledge of God and the fact that somewhere along the line, they turn from that. And that's why it's so important for parents to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so we have a responsibility. Luke chapter 12, verse 47 says, "And the servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." But then it also talks about the one that did things in verse 48, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And for unto whosoever much is given, of him shall much be required." And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. And I'm going to have to kind of wrap this up because I got other callers calling in. But there's evidence of levels of punishment in hell, just like levels of reward in heaven. And the person who did not know the gospel, who never heard, never had the opportunity, their punishment will be punishment in hell because they're not saved. They're condemned. But it'll be less than somebody who grew up hearing about Jesus and turned their back on him, people who rejected them. If you just think about it this way, somebody who's in hell that knew they had the opportunity to get saved is going to be there for all eternity saying, "I didn't have to be here. I'm the one who put myself here," and they're gonna be tearing themselves up over that for all eternity. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to encourage people. If you hear the gospel and you know that it's true, today is the accepted time. Now's the time to trust Christ as your Savior. Mm-hmm. Put your faith in Christ before it's eternally too late. And Nancy has a good thing. Oh, I wanted to touch before we get to the next caller, the Muslims. This is happening. I have heard this. Muslims in Iran, Muslims in across the Middle East and Arab countries. They're in areas where they can't hear the gospel. This sounds kind of funny, you know, when you think about why would this happen? But I know somebody personally. I baptized him. He got saved because he was a Muslim. He had a dream. And he was on a battlefield, and he was down in the mud and the blood and everything, and a man on a white horse came and extended his hand to him, and all he knew was the guy's name was Jesus. And there are people going online searching for information about this Jesus. The dream is not saving them. It's getting them looking. Because, see, we need to pray for people that God would put something in them to want to hear the gospel. Hey, I got to go. I got 10 minutes or so left, and a lot of calls have been lighting up.
The same thing could happen with a man in the jungle, then.
Hey, yeah, I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you very much. That was extremely helpful.
All right, well, thank you. And I want to get to Joanna in Cleveland, I think, next. And we're going to get to Joanna here. Got people waiting. You're listening to Live with Pastor Alan. Joanna, welcome.
Pastor Allen, how you doing?
Hi, good. Busy, busy.
Joanna, remember me from Bible study?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, nice to see you or talk to you tonight. Good to hear from you.
I want to ask a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, my question is, remember the 10 brides? 5 were ready and 5 had just nodded off to sleep.
Right, the 10 brides?
Right.
Yeah, now, or virgins. Bridesmaids, actually.
Right. So how does that relate to the church when Jesus said that he would keep us from that hour?
Well,
for those that are asleep now, that are just really just kind of, you know, they're going to church on Sunday, and then they, you know, maybe attend Bible study, but they're busy focusing on the world.
Yeah, I think when you look at that, you have to remember that when Jesus gave that parable, and let's see, I believe it's here in Matthew chapter 25, he talks about the 10 virgins, and 5 of them had oil in their lamps and 5 didn't, and they were the foolish ones. And when the bridegroom came, they thought, oh, when they heard the noise the bridegroom was coming, they wanted to borrow oil from the other ones, and they said, no, we don't have enough. They had to go out and get their own. They had no oil. Oil often represents the Holy Spirit, and actually, I've heard some people teach that this has to do perhaps with the tribulation saints, but when we look at this, the idea that I think we can take care or take with us just to kind of make this a little shorter, is the idea that we need to be prepared. We need to have the Holy Spirit. And one thing we can take from this is there are people who claim to be Christians, but they're really not saved. You know, if you're saved, the Bible says that you'll have the Spirit of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit in you. There are people out there who try to teach that you get saved and then at a later date you get the Spirit. And that's not in the Scripture. That's not scriptural. You know, Paul says in Romans that you have the Holy Spirit in you. Otherwise, you know, the Spirit of Christ in you. Otherwise, you're none of His. You don't belong to Him. And so every true believer at the moment of salvation receives the Holy Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit of God is in us, we're sealed until the day of salvation. And so as a result, we belong to Him, and God knows who we are. And when the bridegroom comes for his bride, that's of course the bridegroom being Christ, and the bride being the believers. We refer to the believers here in this dispensation of grace as the bride of Christ. And he will receive us to be with him. Now, we're going to go with him because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we're sealed and we belong to him. And he'll receive us into heaven. And during the events of the tribulation, we'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And and that's in Revelation 19. But it's exciting to think about that, that he knows who we are. Those that do not have the Holy Spirit in them, they're not going.
Yeah,
and it won't be time for them to go out and trust Christ when they hear about the rapture. I mean, it's also a cautionary tale. There are people who are going to get saved during the tribulation, but some of them won't. I'm going to have to leave it at that right there, I think, for now.
You covered it. You covered it well for me.
All right. Well, thank you
and
for
thank
calling.
Thank you. And tell your wife I said hello.
All right.
And thank you. And I enjoy and, your program.
Yeah, hope to see you again at Bible study sometime.
Yes,
and
you will.
Thanks
well,
again.
You take care.
All right. Well, we've got Jeremiah calling in. And Jeremiah, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we got Jeremiah there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, welcome, Jeremiah.
Yeah, the only way to know Jesus is to be saved and baptized. You got to ask Jesus into your heart. You got to say a simple prayer.
Well, we recognize, like the Bible says, we recognize our sin, and we recognize that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross to pay for our sin. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, we believe, you know, we confess our sin, and we believe that the blood that Christ shed on the cross was sufficient to pay for our sin. We believe certainly that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then after we've been saved, as a step of obedience, we ought to be baptized. The baptism comes to show that we've been saved. And but certainly you're right. We need to put our faith in Christ as our Savior because, you know, your good works aren't going to save you. Your church membership's not going to save you. Your good name or your family's name isn't going to save you. You know, we're saved by the grace of God and not of works. The Bible says, lest any man should boast. So,
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
If you pray to God every second, mm-hmm. no matter what prayer it is, like you say, Father God, will you answer my prayer? Will God answer that prayer right away?
Not necessarily. Sometimes my wife, I mentioned earlier in the program, prayed for 11 years for her father's salvation. Took 11 years. And most people are not going to pray every second. But if we're sincere, sometimes God tells us to wait. Sometimes it's not the right time to get something. Sometimes God tells us no. Paul prayed. He had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times that God would remove it from him, and God said no. He said, you need that in order to remain humble. Then Paul said, well, okay, I'll accept that because when I'm weak, then God can use me better. So he accepted the thorn in the flesh. So you get those are answers that we get sometimes, yes, no, wait. So
I have a King James Bible that I got recently as a gift, and I've been reading it a lot, and it's, mm-hmm. it's a giant print edition.
Right.
King James Bible that I have, that I got as a gift, and it's a really good book. I mean, really good. The Bible is a good book.
Exactly, and I would recommend using the King James. Jeremiah, I got one more call to squeeze in here, but keep reading the Bible, and certainly in English, we should be reading the King James Bible. It's God's Word preserved for us in the English language, and the Bible says, pray without ceasing. We need to be sincere in our prayers, and I'm going to have to let you go at that, Jeremiah, so I can get our last caller in here, but thanks for the call, and it looks like we've got Grover sneaking in here today. Grover, we've been busy. I hear you've been sick, and your voice hasn't been there. Welcome.
Well, actually, I'm not sick. I just got carried away with a message.
Oh, you got yourself a little horse.
Oh, yeah. I think I can answer. My deacon was on before, John.
Mm-hmm.
You answered that exactly the way that we said it. Okay.
Got about a minute, so.
But I know you don't have but a minute. But Nancy, she was saying about, the Bible talks about the heathen that doesn't hear the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But we can go back to two things. When God made Adam, he breathed into his nostrils.
The breath of life.
He became a living soul.
Right.
Okay, the body of McGee, you know, you heard of McGee.
Yeah, hey, Grover, I'm about out of time here. And let me just add to that. In the fall, he died spiritually.
One thing.
Yeah.
It says, McGee, I do his sermons a lot. I like it.
Hey, we're out of time, Grover. I have to cut you there, and I want to thank folks for listening. God bless. Stay warm, and have a great week.
If you would, we're all got a soul.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286.
or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.